Good afternoon. We have received 17/100ths of an inch of rain so far today, and after a low of 45, it's 50 degrees. For WRCO News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. The Richland County Executive and Finance Committee approved moving forward with the 2026 proposed budget for Richland County to the full Board of Supervisors at last night's meeting. It proposes a county tax levy of $6,735,590, a library tax levy of $209,465, a county bridge aid levy of $37,820, a chargeback levy of $990, and a county debt levy of $3,836,165. The sum of $10,820,031 would be used and levied upon all taxable property in Richland County for county purposes for the year 2026. Concerning an ambulance service in the county, the committee approved an interim memorandum to provide ambulance services in place of the current contract through March 31, 2026. On October 7th, City Administrator Ashley Oliphant requested that the current memorandum be extended for an additional 3 months to provide the opportunity to develop and implement a transition plan for ambulance services. Administrator Oliphant shared that the city cannot afford the rates set in the current contract, and if they remain at that level, they will not be able to continue to utilize the Richland County Ambulance Service. If the City of Richland Center is no longer contributing to the service, the county cannot sustain the service. An interim memorandum will allow for a productive and effective transition for the community. Services would continue to be provided until, at the latest, March 31, 2026. This time will allow for discussions on the creation of a district or negotiations to bring in another entity to provide the service for all townships. The county ambulance has unused funding assistance program money from 2024 and 25 that must be used on specific items. The committee approved moving forward on the purchase of a new LifePak 35 cardiac monitor. A bill restricting student use of cell phones in Wisconsin's K-12 public schools passed the state Senate. The Senate author, Appleton Republican Rachel Cabral Guevara, said it's a widely supported concept, citing a Marquette poll which found 89% of Wisconsinites support banning cell phone use during classroom instructional time. She said the devices that are taking away from children learning and lawmakers have been asked to do something about it. The bill requires school boards to enact policies restricting cell phone use during instructional time, with allowances for teachers to okay student use of their phones for educational purposes. A survey of the State Department of Public Instruction found most school districts already have policies in place. The bill has already passed the state assembly, and it's unclear if Governor Tony Evers will sign the measure into law. The Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development is working to get back unemployment benefits to applicants following a federal court ruling. The department announced Tuesday a recent order will allow people to get both unemployment benefits and Social Security disability payments. A 2013 law passed under then-Governor Scott Walker prevented Wisconsinites from getting both benefits at the same time, but the August ruling found that to be unconstitutional under the Americans with Disabilities Act. DWD is reaching out to people who may be affected, including those who were denied unemployment because of disability benefits or had it terminated when they went on to benefits. Food assistance programs in Wisconsin could soon be impacted by the federal government shutdown. Wisconsin Department of Health Services officials warn that the Food Share and Women, Infants, and Children programs will no longer be fully funded come November if the government shutdown continues. DHS says roughly 700,000 Wisconsinites receive food share benefits and 59,000 families receive WIC funding. The programs are funded through the end of October. Tuesday marked the 14th day of the federal government shutdown. A new study shows gun violence against minorities is rising in Wisconsin. A report from the Wisconsin Anti-Violence Effort and the Violence Policy Center shows 762 people died by guns in 2023. That includes 502 suicides and 236 homicides. Wave says deaths among Hispanics have increased over 50% from 2021 to 2023, and suicides among Black Wisconsinites have tripled since 2018. Black residents are also 40 times more likely to be killed by a firearm than white residents. Wave Assistant Director Nick Matuszewski says legislators need to take action on background checks, extreme risk laws, and community intervention efforts to stem the violence. A Blue Mounds woman charged with killing her mother pleads guilty. According to online court records, 31-year-old Sierra Schoonover pleaded guilty, but not guilty by reason of insanity, to a charge of first-degree intentional homicide. A criminal complaint stated that a neighbor called 911 after seeing Schoonover and her mother, Heather Schoonover, fighting in their driveway before Schoonover sped off after the fight. When authorities arrived at the home, they found Schoonover's mother in a bathroom with multiple stab wounds. Authorities then found Sierra Schoonover near a crashed vehicle naked with a frothy substance on her mouth and dried blood on her hand. Bond has been set at $50,000 for Judd Frazier, 56 of Boscobel, formerly of Muscadet, by Richland County Circuit Judge Lisa McDougall. Frazier was charged Monday with felony murder and a felon in possession of a firearm. He appeared in Richland County Court Tuesday by video from the Richland County Jail. According to court records, attorney John Zitch appeared on his behalf for the bond hearing only. According to Frazier, he has been denied a state public defender. When the court asked him why he is not eligible, he stated that that is what he was told. Due to not being eligible, Zitch asked that the bond be reduced, but the court instructed Frazier to contact them again, letting them know that he will be incarcerated for a while and will have no means to hire an attorney. He was told to ask for another eligibility determination, and if he is denied again, the court will ensure he has an attorney. Judd Frazier is scheduled to appear in court again Friday afternoon. Tapping your card or phone to pay has become second nature for many of us. Contactless payments are quick, easy, and you don't even have to hand your card to anyone. But scammers are finding ways to take advantage of this payment convenience. One growing threat is called ghost tapping, where criminals use wireless devices to steal money without touching your card. Ghost tapping is a scam that targets tap-to-pay cards and mobile wallets. Tap-to-pay works through near-field communication, which allows devices to exchange data at very close range. While NFC is generally safe, scammers can exploit it in crowded or distracted situations. Unlike previous debit and credit card scams, which required physical contact with the card, ghost tapping eliminates this need. There are occasions where the scammers will attempt to trick unsuspecting individuals in public places. For example, they try getting close in public spaces. Someone might bump into you while secretly charging your tap, enabled card, or mobile wallet. Pretending to be a vendor at events, flea markets, or festivals, fraudsters might set up fake stands and ask for tap payments. In charity scams, a scammer might request a small donation, but actually charge your card for a much larger amount. They may rush the process. Scammers count on you tapping without checking the business name or transaction amount. In some cases, fraudsters make small withdrawals to avoid triggering fraud detection systems, which means victims may not notice the theft right away. Some warning signs and red flags of ghost tapping are bank alerts about small or unusual test charges, a request to tap without showing you the total or offering a receipt, and suspicious charges after you've been in crowded areas like festivals, markets, or transit stations. To protect yourself from a tap-to-pay scam, use RFID protection. An RFID blocking wallet or sleeve can help stop wireless skimming. Always confirm payment details. Before tapping your card or phone, check the merchant's name and amount on the terminal screen. Set up transaction alerts. Many banks allow real-time notifications for every charge. Keep an eye on your accounts. Daily checks help you spot fraud faster. Limit tap-to-pay use in high-risk areas. When in doubt, consider swiping or inserting your card instead. If you're a victim of a tap-to-pay scam, report it immediately to your bank or card issuer and freeze or cancel the affected card. For more information or further inquiries, contact the Wisconsin Better Business Bureau at bbb.org/Wisconsin or 1-800-273-1002. Wisconsin State Representative Tony Kurtz has chosen Dells Delton EMS Deputy Chief Brandon Frederick to receive the First Responder of the Year Award for the 41st Assembly District. Representative Kurtz said, quote, Deputy Chief Brandon Frederick's dedication to serving our region is incredible. He has served the Dells Delton community for 14 years and serves as a volunteer firefighter for Oxford. He truly understands what it means to put his life on the line for the people he serves, and that's why I've chosen him to be the 41st District's First Responder of the Year, end quote. Deputy Chief Frederick was nominated for this recognition by Lake Delton Director of Public Safety, Chief Eric Thunberg. On the night of November 20th, 2024, Deputy Chief Frederick was dispatched to a motor vehicle accident on the interstate. While responding, DC Frederick recognized road conditions were deteriorating due to light drizzle and near freezing temperatures. After connecting with the paramedics on scene, he ordered them to move the ambulance to the front of the accident scene while he stayed at the rear to provide early warning and light coverage. Moments later, a westbound semi-truck lost control and struck the back of D.C. Frederick's command vehicle. D.C. Frederick is lucky to be alive. His vehicle was struck only seconds after he got back into his truck and closed the driver door. The impact sent both vehicles crashing through the area where he and the two paramedics had been standing between the command vehicle and the ambulance. D.C. Frederick suffered serious injuries as a result of the crash. Thankfully, D.C. Frederick has recovered and returned to full duty in the summer of 2025. The release says D.C. Frederick's ability to remain calm under pressure and take immediate life-preserving action is a testament to his skill as an incident commander and dedication to the well-being of his crews. Responding to accidents on the side of the road is often one of the most dangerous for first responders. From 2017 to 2021, there were nearly 2,400 crashes involving emergency vehicles in Wisconsin. About 735 people were injured and 5 were killed in those incidents. In addition to Wisconsin's move-over law, state law also prohibits the use of cell phones within 500 feet of an authorized emergency vehicle with activated lights or a tow truck with flashing red lights. October is First Responder Appreciation Month, and Tuesday the State Assembly honored first responders from each of the 99 Assembly districts during their session. Reedsburg Area Medical Center has been named one of Modern Healthcare's best places to work for 2025, earning an impressive 34th national ranking. This marks RAMC's highest placement to date, moving up from 44th in 2024. Modern Healthcare's Best Places to Work list recognizes healthcare organizations that create positive, engaging workplaces where employees feel valued. RAMC's rising rank highlights the organization's continued commitment to building a supportive, collaborative, and innovative environment where team members can thrive every day. Today is National White Cane Safety Day, a day recognizing those who are blind or have visual impairments. Shelley Pittman reports.
The day was first signed into law over 60 years ago. Today, it's an educational day on white cane laws in states across the country, including in Wisconsin.
In Wisconsin, motorists are required to stop no shorter than 10 feet from a pedestrian who is in the roadway, who is carrying a white cane or using a service animal.
Denise Jess is executive director of the Wisconsin Council of the Blind and Visually Impaired. She herself is blind and carries a foldable white cane. She says reminding drivers to take extra caution benefits all people.
We don't want drivers running over pedestrians, period. But vulnerable pedestrians who really can't see you coming need that that extra protection under the law.
Wisconsin's white cane law comes with a fine, and it applies whenever a blind or visually impaired pedestrian is in the roadway. And even though it's not against the law, Jess says it's also not helpful to honk to get pedestrians to speed up. just says care and attention while on the road doesn't only benefit folks who are blind or low vision. It also benefits you as a driver.
We do not see you, or we don't see you well enough to be able to predict your movements. So having you follow the rules of the road is just, it's so critical to our safety and your well-being. You know, if you were to hit one of us, it would change your life as well, and we wouldn't want that to happen.
October is also National Pedestrian Safety Month, which aims to reduce pedestrian fatalities and injuries. I'm Shally Pittman.